I think I'll just recap quickly. I thank God one thing, I was on the first day, first day is yesterday, right? Yesterday I was driving the people here, I forgot to bring my message. So I had to double back again to get it. So I thank God for the patience of the people in the van. So the first one, we actually talked about the encouragement to ask, God encouraging us to ask. You know, sometimes we ask, but we don't ask big. In John chapter 16, verse 24, when we ask, Jesus said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask that ye might receive, that your joy may be full." Okay? You realize when Jesus said that in John 16, 24, He's saying, you guys are asking. You know, Jesus says, up till now you have asked nothing in my name. And then I was telling the people yesterday, Wednesday afternoon, that actually the disciples did ask. But the content of their asking was oftentimes for their own needs. For their own needs, okay? Lord, my exam's coming. Lord, I'm sick. Lord, I need you to provide this. It's always for our own needs. But Jesus says, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. You know what He's asking us? Ask big. Ask big. We had one little one here. Okay, you can go and find out who he is. Who said, when I asked them to roll down at the end of the session, I want you to ask big. And the little one said, I want to serve God next time. And he's very young. Very, 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 very young. Okay? He's asking big. He was challenging the parents also. Don't just pray that God will keep your child healthy. Pray that God will use your child next time to reach the whole world, like South America or something. Let's pray big. That God, I want my child to be used for you. Okay? Yeah, we all make mistakes. But you know what? We need to move on. Pray big. God is asking us to pray big and say, God, I need you to help me. And that's what we're going to do after this. Then, after that, in the evening, we talk about, let me just refer, we need to talk about the church in prayer. Okay, that's Acts chapter 1, the church in prayer. We noticed that in the early church, the people all together, and one of the things I mentioned was they were obedient to the Lord, and number two, all the church leaders were present. If you notice in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, there were 11 disciples present. One of them hung himself, but all the rest were present. Okay, and another interesting and encouraging thing was all the members were present. Every member was present in that prayer meeting. And then in the morning today, we actually talk about our morning sacrifice, how much that God wants us to pray. And one of the things we learn from Psalm chapter 5 is that David prayed Psalm 5 at the lowest point in his life, when King Saul was after him to kill him. And he prayed, "O Lord, hear my prayer." And he talked about, "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto him, will look unto you, I will look up." And that simply means, "Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer." The word directing prayer means, have the Hebrew meaning of arrangement, as in a morning sacrifice. Like the Levitical priests, the Levites, in the morning will prepare the sacrifice for God. David is saying, "Lord, I direct my prayer." The word direct has the idea of the Levitical priests laying the sacrifice. "And after that, unto thee and will look up." And we learned this morning that God wants us to pray, and this is important, He wants us to pray with expectation. He wants us to pray with expectation. Don't pray, if we pray, but we don't expect anything, we might as well don't pray. Okay, we need to pray with expectation. Okay, then in the mid-morning, we actually talk about how we need to seek the Lord in times of discouragement. And we look at the prayer of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, how when everything crashed around him, alright, in 1 Samuel 30 verse 1 to 5, we learn that verse 1 was discouragement, verse 2 was discouragement, verse 3 was discouragement, verse 4 was discouragement, verse 5 was discouragement. Then verse 6 was discouragement three quarters way. The last part of verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 30, was a verse, "And David encouraged himself in the Lord." And we learn that in the midst of all the discouragement, what David did was, he didn't look around anymore, he looked up. He encouraged himself in the Lord and began to seek God. "Lord, what should I do?" And the challenge was for all of us, as we have difficulties in our life when all the situation seems to be crashing down, we need to seek to focus our mind on God and get strength from Him. Okay, I can tell you, we make one mention about how many times we try to look for encouragement from our situations. But I made the point that it's from our situations that we get discouragement in the first place. So why are we looking for encouragement from the same place? We need to look up to God. Okay, so just a summary. And today we're going to talk about in Acts chapter 4. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. The church shake. The church quake. Okay, not the earthquake, but the church quake. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Okay, let's turn there. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31. Okay, I'll read verse 1. First verse 23. What am I saying? Too much chicken rice. Verse 23. Then you read verse 24 and so on until we finish at verse 31. Alright? Ready? Acts chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible reads, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." Verse 24. Verse 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" Verse 26, "The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." Verse 28, verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they might speak thy word." Verse 30, verse 31, let's read together. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled. And we were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Okay, let's pray. Lord, we pray tonight. We don't know about this place shaking, Lord. But suddenly as a church, we want to gather as one heart, one mind to pray. For Father, we know that when we gather with an express purpose of praying, when we continue in supplication and prayer, I thank you, Lord, that in the worship that God, you have helped us to see that, Lord, there is a oneness in Christ. We thank you, Father, for everyone that is here, whether it is a child or a young adult or whoever, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we are one in Christ, and we pray tonight you help us to realize the power in prayer. And even as the early church gathered together in the midst of persecution to pray, Lord, you demonstrated your power once again. And Father, it is evident, Lord, every time God's people pray, there was a manifestation of your power. And Father, even in the life of Ambassador Baptist Church, oftentimes we see things happening, Lord, because we prayed. Oh Lord, we are not depending on prayer as a ritual, but we are depending on you as our God. As we commit ourselves to prayer, the Lord speak to us in this passage, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in Acts chapter 4, what were the people doing? Just as a very quick introduction, Acts chapter 4, the disciples were busy doing God's will. And what was God's will for the apostles? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay, and you'll find that the moment the Holy Spirit came, Acts chapter 2, the disciples went out in full force to preach the gospel. First day, with the power of God, 3,000 people got saved. And then after the second big mass evangelism in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, whereby 5,000 people got saved. And there was a time that the Pharisees got really angry. Why? Because thousands upon thousands of Jewish so-called people believing in Judaism are moving out and following Jesus Christ. And so the apostles were being persecuted. Alright? And they were actually saying, "Look, you better don't preach in the name of Jesus." You know, the early church were very busy doing the will of God. I want us to think about that. The early church was very busy doing the will of God. Like, I want us to be, you know, as I think I've shared, my heart is, as a pastor, is for our church to live in the spirit of the New Testament. How the early church lived. Not talking about all the spiritual gifts, but God does give us spiritual gifts among us. But you know, the heart and life and spirit of the early church, I'm praying that God will help us to manifest that. But you know, one of the things that the early church did was they were very busy serving the Lord. They were very busy serving the Lord. And when I say that, I know it's hard. Johnny, you know, got to work, you know, by the time I come back, it's, well, I'm so tired. Can I tell you that I understand? Alright, I'm not asking for human whatever, but I'm just saying that I understand that it's very busy. All of us are busy. But you know what, for us to have Christ's blessings, we need to imitate what the Bible teaches. And the early church were very busy serving the Lord. And as much as we're busy, but you know what, we need to also be busy serving God. Okay? So the early church was very busy serving the Lord. To the point, they got into trouble. They got into trouble. Okay? And so, the first point, that there are 6 points I want to highlight very quickly. The early church was very busy in the work of God. We need to see our need for evangelizing. Our need for evangelizing. The early church was busy reaching out. You know, one thing I'm thankful in the Bethel Baptist Church. You know, I need to be careful. What I'm doing is actually recounting blessings. I don't want to fall into the trap of looking at blessings and say, "There, we are so good, therefore God is blessing us." I know we need to be very careful that we are not proud. But you know, over this 1 year, ever since, I believe in many of our hearts, God is doing a work of change. You know, this morning when we prayed one thing. Lord, change us. Lord, change us. This morning when the people came, there were tears and people were saying, "Lord, change us." And can I say, this was a very prayer. You know, one I mentioned Evan Roberts. You know Evan Roberts? Evan Roberts was a man who, because of his praying, God sent the Welsh revival in 1901 to 1910, about that time. You know, God told Evan Roberts, or impressed upon Evan Roberts, that within 1 year, 100,000 souls would be saved and added to the church. You know what? That's exactly what happened. But you know what Evan Roberts prayed before that happened? The famous prayer he prayed, "Lord, bend me. Lord, bend me." And he prayed with all his heart, "Lord, bend me. Lord, I don't want to be stubborn anymore. Lord, bend me." And when God broke him, spiritually speaking, he had a broken heart before God. Now God sent revival. Welsh revival. You can read in the internet the Welsh revival, how God sent that revival. Literally, within 6 months to a year, 100,000 people got saved, not just by word, they were added to the church. People who curse and swear, stopped swearing. Huh? One of the things that happened was, you know, a lot of people were still stationary from the office, you know, a bit of rubber here and whatever there. What happened was, after the revival, all the people who got saved were starting to bring back all the things they took from the office when they stole. The office said, "Never mind, never mind. They don't know how to cope. There's so much things stolen." Right? The office, "Never mind, you keep them already." And it was one time, one very funny thing was, the Welsh were miners. You know miners? People who work in the cave, not caves, mine, in the mine, not the caves. Alright? And the way they command their horses was by swearing at them, saying vulgar words. It came to the point that after the revival, the horse and the miners cannot communicate anymore. Because the miners clean up their language. So the horses don't understand the miners anymore. Does it make sense? God actually changed. Huh? The policemen ran out of business because everyone was... The pubs closed down. Can I say this? But that was all because one man was willing to pray, "God, bend me. Bend me." You know, we need to come to a place in the early church, we need to evangelize, but we need to pray. The disciples were opposed when they tried to do two things. Number one, they tried to obey the Great Commission. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 18. I think you're there. Under the evangelism part, in this part, before they were praying, just as a background, the disciples were trying to obey the Great Commission, Acts chapter 4, verse 18. And they commanded them, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Isn't it true sometimes in our workplaces, it is hard to mention the name of Jesus? Isn't it true sometimes in our friends, and sometimes they say, don't talk to me about Jesus? You know, as it were, the spirit of the devil is still telling us, telling the people and pressuring the society to tell Christians, don't preach in the name of Jesus. And these Christians are trying to do that, but they were being asked to stop. The second part in this is, even as they try to obey the Great Commission, the Bible said they obey God rather than men. Look at Acts 4:19. But Jesus and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. So he's saying, look, you tell me, you are a religious leader, should I listen to you more or listen to God? Oh, if God told me to speak, how can I not speak? You know, one of the things you will find in the context of Acts chapter 4, the disciples wanted to do what God wanted them to do, but there was so much pressure to stop them. And I believe that in this course of situation, many Christians have come to the place whereby they say, if this is a society we live, if we cannot beat them, we've got to join them. We've got to kind of just flow along with them. Or some even say, we need to be careful what we say. And I think we need to be very careful what we say. Our goal, listen carefully, in evangelism, is not to offend people unnecessarily. Don't spoil the opportunity for someone else. But you know, when it's the time to speak the name of Christ, we need to. But we're in a society, there's a lot of pressure to stop us from not telling what Jesus wants us to say. Once again, I'm not saying we go out and just open our mouth without any thinking. I say, well, Jesus is Lord, and you better become a Christian or you die and go to hell. That is not how we need to evangelize. Amen? We need to have wisdom. Alright, we need to have wisdom. Of course, some people you need to tell them straight. Some people you need to have more compassion. And some people, like what the Auntie Mary was mentioning, perhaps there was a terrible time that happened to him that he switched. There was one, me and my wife knew of one guy who went to America to Bible college. And what happened was he came back a Buddhist. Because he was suffering from arthritis so badly that he said, he was from Bible college. And he said this, any God that can heal me, I'll follow that God. And just so happened he went, and this temple medium gave him, you know, this. They put water, boiling water, then they burned the Chinese talisman, and then he drank it, and apparently he got better. Huh? And then, you need to be careful what you say. Alright? And what happened? You realize the devil can do miracles like that too? And so this guy got hoodwinked and just followed. We need to be very careful. There's this pressure. But you know what? You need to obey God rather than man. Okay? So number one, our need to evangelize, unless we're doing the will of God in our lives, it will be hard for us to want to pray. Because you will realize one thing, when you choose to do God's work, it is not going to be easy for you. It's not going to be easy for you. I'm sure for all of us, we have to really reflect, Lord, how am I going to serve you? You mean I've got to take this step? Me and my wife, our family, we have gone through a lot over the last many months. Different things have happened. But you know, one thing we're determined is that God, when He wants us to do certain things, it will be inconvenient. But when there's opposition to the work, and when there is a lack of response, a lack of resources, when there's a lack of, when we're unable to complete the job, what do we do? Okay, right now, in the youth, can I make an advertisement? We are lack of games leader, we are lack of logistics man, and we are lack of food IC. There's a lack. Okay? It's very easy for us to ask for volunteers and ask, can you do this, can you do that? And you know, many times, I'll be honest, many times it is hard to ask because we know we're already busy, right? So what we do? We ask Him. And I believe with all my heart, the Blessed Baptist Church is moving forward because God is touching people's hearts. When there's a lack of resources, when things are being pushed back, you know what we need to do? What did the early church do when they were being threatened, alright? Look at verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Now, going back to verse 23, what did the early church do when they were being pushed back, when they were unable to do God's will because they were being pushed back by the Pharisees, when there was threatening, when there was a threat? And perhaps in modern day situation, when there were lack of resources. 1,000 souls in 5 years. $180,000 we need for the renovation. We only church about 40 over. Is God able to? Absolutely. God provided $42,500 when we had 8 members. Isn't God able to do that? God will bring it in. But you know what? It is not you and me that gave. It's God that gave. And I'm seeing that trend that God wants us to learn to pray. I was very encouraged, you know, in our men's meeting, I'll share it publicly. It's an encouragement. When I asked for feedback on our fasting and prayer, the men said, we need to do it more often. Not because of feeling good. I don't think you feel good because you never eat. But you know what? God was moving. And by God's grace, next year we'll have it probably 3 or 4 times a year where we fast and pray before God. What did the early church do? I want you to notice a few things. Number one, they had a particular place where they could go and share their life with. Now that's important. What do I mean by that? Look at verse number 23. And being let go, after they were released, they went to their own company. You know what's the meaning of own company? When I read the meaning in the Greek, I almost laughed. The word own company comes from the Greek word where we get the word idiot from. Idios. Okay, in the Greek it means idios. You know, do you realize last time the word idiot is a good name? Look at the idiot. It means that the person is uniquely endowed with certain special gifts that is unique to them. Today we use idiot as someone that's totally negative. But in Bible times, the word idios has the idea of a unique individual. Okay? So the word idios here, when they went to their own company, don't even call people that, alright? I'm not encouraging you to do that. But in the Bible, the word idios means someone that's unique. Own company has the idea of a particular place that belongs, that a person can belong to. You know what that's that place in the Bible? It was the early church. That when the early church faced the resistance and the difficulty in serving God, they could go to their own group and say, this is the problem I'm having. You know what the early church did? They prayed together. Okay? Now, what was the characteristics of this company? Just a few very quickly. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 49. I just give you quickly the characteristics of this early church. Very quickly in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. At the same day, there were added unto them 3,000 souls, about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, the characteristics was, in verse 42, this company continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Amen. We have everything here. Okay, we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We study the Bible. We fellowship. We play games and all that kind of thing. Play soccer, right? Just now, and we play in the what's it called? The big, what they call? Huh? You know, in Pasir Ris, there's this big circular thing. They sing, whoa, whoa. Whoa, and one person actually flew off. Okay. They had fellowship, we had fun. You know, the ladies were there. We had fellowship, we had fun. They played games. We broke bread. You see, you got chicken rice. You know that? That's the equivalent. We ate. And afterwards, we're going to pray. Okay. We continued steadfastly. And we're doing it. We've been doing this for the last 8 years. In church camps and things like that. Okay. Number one, they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and all that. Verse 44, they shared everything they had. They shared everything they had. It is my joy to see as a church that members actually help one another with what they have. They shared everything they have. They were compassionate. Look at verse 45. 45, the Bible says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They gave to those who needed. Okay? Verse 46, they gathered regularly. The Bible says there, and they continuing daily with one accord. They were together regularly. They ate together regularly in verse 46 too, breaking bread from house to house. And they had joy together. Verse 46, and they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. they were people of praise and praising God. Just now it was excellent singing, and I believe God was pleased. I mean, that's my opinion, but I believe I was encouraged as we sang as a church. Okay, they were people of praise, and then in verse 47, they had a testimony among the people, having favor with all the people. And the Bible says, lastly, they were soul winning church, because the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. When there were all these characteristics, God starts to add. Can I say this? I heard an evangelist preach once, God cannot add if we are subtracting. God cannot multiply if we are dividing. Simple maths, okay? God cannot add if we are subtracting, and God cannot multiply if we are dividing. And we need absolutely to keep our hearts and minds in the principles of the Lord, in the character of the company. We need to be set apart in this matter. Okay, number three, turn back to Acts chapter 4 again. Okay, they had a place to go back to share the difficulties they have. In point number three, verse 24 to 26, the Bible says, the point is they could see the relevance of the Bible to the lives and the work for God. Notice in verse 24 to 26, when they heard the problems that were happening to these people, they actually could go to the Bible. Notice they go to the Bible, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which had made heaven and earth. In verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David, why did the heathen rage? Where is this passage found? Anyone?
Psalms chapter 2, I think.
Sorry? Okay, Psalms chapter 2. Yeah, it's found in Psalms chapter 2. Okay, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Okay? And can you the early church look back and they could see the relevance of God's word to what's happening? Can I say this? Can you see the relevance of God's word to your life? The early church could. There are many churches who don't preach the Bible anymore because they find that it's not relevant anymore. They begin to move. You know, as a congregation, the next person that takes over ambassador and the leaders, may we always see the relevance of the Bible. God's word is always relevant to our lives, no matter what happens. God has a purpose in all things. Okay? And we need to see, this was a church, these people could see the relevance of the Bible. And we need to see that too. Number four, look at verse 27 to 28. We're talking about how the church quaked, all right, and how they actually, how did God give them power. Point number four in verse 27-28. For of a truth against thy child Jesus, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel who gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Their loyalty was for Christ. Because when Jesus' name was being persecuted and reviled, I say, Lord, it's against you, you know. We are standing on your side. Can I say this? One of the elements of revival is when we see things that are wrong against God and we feel something here. I say again, one of the elements of genuine heartfelt religion and revival before God is when we see people not doing right, we look, God, that's not right. Because your name is being compromised. Your work is being contradicted. God, we cannot allow that. And I think we can identify with this. Let's say if someone does something bad to our family, even though we are not affected, we will be angry. Wouldn't that be true? That if someone does something bad to our family, we will get angry. Why? Because there's not just mentally in my family, in my heart. And as a result, these people in the early church, their loyalty was to Christ. And that's why they prayed, God, against you. They're doing this against you, Lord. Notice they're not fighting the people, they're going to God. You know, Christians, our loyalty must be to the Lord. When our heart is not loyal to Christ, we will see no need to pray. Because what are we standing for? What are we standing for? If he that is not for me, the Bible says he's against me. And because he's against you, you want to pray. Okay? So in the early church, their loyalty was for Christ. Notice verse 29-30. Their prayer was for God's kingdom to be advanced. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they might speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Okay? They were praying, God, give us what? Give us, they prayed a few things. Number one, they wanted God to see, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, look at what is happening. Does God see? Sure He does. But they're praying, God, look at their threatening. They're threatening your work, Lord. Number one. Number two, they prayed for more strength to do the work. Lord, behold, I grant unto thy servants. Grant unto thy servants. When things get hard in the ministry, the early church did not back off. Can you see that? When things got hard in the ministry of the early church, the disciples knew this is what God wanted us to do. It is getting harder. You know what they did? They didn't give up. They said, God, you need to give us more boldness. We need more of your courage, Lord. We need to do more. Because why? Otherwise we will lose. And the Lord Jesus' name will be dishonored. Lord, we need your help. We need strength. And they also prayed for more boldness to speak. What did the Pharisees tell them to do? You better don't say anything about Jesus anymore. What did they pray for? God, give us more boldness to speak. Give us more boldness to speak. I can say for the children, as they, I know they are a bit tired now, but as you grow up, as you serve God, Joseph, next time, I review him already. As you serve God, it's going to be harder for you. Did you know that? Now my daddy will tell you all about it. But you know what? It's going to get harder. But you know what? We need to pray, God, give us boldness to speak. Give us boldness to speak. They pray for boldness to speak the word of God. You know, some of us just need to say, God, help me to open my mouth more for you. Not about telling other people about other things, but to share Christ. Can I say this? I think it's a blessing. I don't know whether all of you have heard. Probably not. I think the tracks that we had, we ran out of tracks, right? You know, the first blueprint we had was 32 cents. The second one was 23 cents. And Brother Desmond just managed to get for us 18 cents for the next one. All right, for 18,000. And we're going to get them, hopefully, Lord willing, next week or so. 2 weeks' time. Okay, about 2 weeks' time. It's fine. Okay? That is huge savings. And as far as I'm concerned, God, you're making ammunition cheap so that we can keep going for you. But thank God for that. We're going to spend about $3,400. But this is essential ammunition. We need this to get the gospel out. Now, can I challenge you? Over the next 1.5 years, carry tracks in your bag, whoever that sees, just give. Could be a char kway teow man, curry. I give to, even, I think, we all know, we I give even to the dishwasher, the person who cleans the table, who can speak Mandarin. You know, I've learned, it's hard, I'm not saying it's easy. Last time I was very shy to say, but you know, as I suppose as you grow older, your skin gets thicker, you just talk to anyone. But you know what, we need to open our mouth for Christ. We need to open our mouth for Christ. And even if not to share the gospel, I say, this is for you. Just read it and hopefully, I'll just tell them this is about Jesus and how much He loves you. Okay? Pray for more boldness to speak. And guess what happened in point number 6? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. They dared to speak God's word. The essential characteristic of the filling of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. It's a boldness to tell other people about Jesus Christ. It's consistent throughout the Bible in the Old Testament, New Testament. When the Holy Spirit came upon the people, they shared the love of God with people. Can I say that it's the same? Do you know that you, do you know how you share God's love with people? Just by doing kind deeds. Just by being kind, having a good attitude, helping them along the way and sharing the gospel with them along the way. You know, as a church, I believe as we pray, God wants to shake the foundations. I believe one of the most important things for us is to ask God, God, change me. Change me. We need to change. And we need to see that coming together to pray as a church is important. Okay? And we can encourage one another. All of us, I'm sure, want to share Christ. But not all of us have the boldness to do so. For those with so-called more boldness to do it, let's encourage the younger ones. Okay, it could be the younger ones encouraging the older ones sometimes. But you know, we need to come together to encourage one another. Okay, as we pray for one another, prayer changes things. Prayer can absolutely change things. But we need to believe in that. We need to tell God, God, we know you can make a change in our lives. We want you to change us. All right, any questions? As we close, you know, one of the things is there are some churches who pray, oh, we need God. God can shake the very foundations. You know, as far as I can see, the Bible, when the Bible says the place shook, there's no reason not to believe that it didn't shake. Okay? There's no reason not to believe. Literally, they shook, and God filled them with the power. During that time, the word of God wasn't fully given yet, and God did give signs and wonders to authenticate, to show the people, I'm here with you, I'm giving you the power, I'm giving you the signs and the wonders. That even the apostles, when they healed people, even when people walk past their shadow, they get healed. They can touch their handkerchief, they get healed. That was the power of the apostles. Not today, because we have the power of the word. The Lord Jesus has give us the word today. Okay? Any questions? We're going to be praying.